Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the show. Charlie Arnold here, coming to you from Las Vegas, my home away from home, here for UFC Fight Night this weekend, where I will be working as the reporter for the evening. So a lot of excitement there. Obviously, March Madness kicking off in a huge way. Everybody is in Vegas this weekend. Like, this is the ultimate weekend to be in Vegas, whether you're just a basketball fan, you like to party, maybe you're here for a bachelor party, maybe you're just throwing all three things into one trip, which I can't blame you for. Anyways, if you're here in Vegas, awesome. If you're not, also awesome. It was an exciting week for me, not just coming to Las Vegas, but also on, let's see, I think it was Wednesday night. All the nights run together for me these days. I was invited to the Roadhouse premiere after party. I was not able to go to the actual premiere of the movie. That was a very close friends and family type of situation. But Roadhouse, starring Jake Gyllenhaal and dun-dun-dun, MMA star Conor McGregor, out today on Amazon. So I'm sure that's going to be a big movie that a lot of people are going to want to watch over the weekend. But I, on Wednesday, had the opportunity to go to the after party for Roadhouse, where I actually got to meet Conor McGregor. Now, a lot of you might imagine, because I work for UFC and have been for a few years, that I just have run into Conor here and there. That is absolutely not the truth. Conor is very rarely, as you can imagine, around the UFC. I mean, he hasn't even fought in the UFC since July of 2021. So other than coaching the Ultimate Fighter this past season, nowhere to be seen. So I was super excited to finally meet the one and only notorious Conor McGregor. So here's a little bit of a sneak peek, or rather a look back at my meeting with the man himself.
Where's Dad?
Dad's down there.
Okay, so you can see a quick kiss on the cheek here, there. Very proper. It was a super fun evening. I didn't get to stay out all too late because, of course, I got to be here hosting the show for all of you fine people. But super cool to be in the company of Conor McGregor and other people that were also in the movie, including my good friend Bob Menery, who you can see in the videos as well. But let's talk about Conor's acting debut. I mean, this was an acting debut that we have not seen the likes of before, because Conor McGregor just became the highest paid actor to debut in Hollywood in history. He has since deleted a tweet, but here's what he had put up several days ago saying, quote, "What did you think of my acting debut movie trailer? Hell of a ride. I am now officially the highest paid first-time actor of all time on record, pipping Dwayne Johnson for the top spot." Incredible. Obviously, that is incredible. That's something I would be proud of as well. And McGregor, he is said to have made 530 million pounds in over the course of his lifetime already. And in this movie alone, something like over $200 million or million pounds, rather. The money has not been confirmed, but it's some ridiculously stupid money. And now he has beat Dwayne Johnson. So nothing to be ashamed of on that front. But we have a lot that we want to talk to as far as the movie goes. I have not personally seen it yet. Like I said, I did not get to go to the movie premiere. And actually, it was funny because when I met Conor, he asked me how I liked the movie. And I was like, I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to be seeing it with the rest of the masses when it comes out on Friday. So maybe I should have lied there. Maybe I should have just been like, it was amazing. You were amazing. Congratulations. But to get more into it, let's bring in a guy who knows about all things pop culture, certainly knows about all things Conor McGregor, none other than Outkick contributor Mike Gunzelman. And here he is. Bright and early. I hope you had your coffee already.
You know what, Charlie? I don't drink coffee.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm not a coffee fan. I don't.
You have so much energy. How do you not drink coffee? That's all natural?
All natural. It's all natural. Yeah, no, it's wild because people say that to me all the time, especially in the morning. It's tough to get up in the morning. But for me, I love life. It's too complicated.
You love life.
There's too many coffee options that I'm just overwhelmed and intimidated by them. You know what I mean?
Like, or did you just never get into it? Now you're like, well, like kind of like people that haven't drank before. Now they're like, well, what's the point? I've gotten this far. Why start now?
Well, I would recommend anybody who hasn't drank yet to start because it is incredible. I am a big proponent of drinking, but just not coffee. You know, I didn't really like the taste. Like even coffee ice cream, I'm not like a fan of. Like I will never get that. But it is like the Starbucks. I've gotten with people to Starbucks. They don't even have like small, medium, and large.
No, it's I don't even know the
grande,
small size.
Right? One's a grande.
Wait, grande is middle. Oh, tall, grande, venti.
Yeah, too complicated. Don't know what it means.
It is a lingo of its own. if you know, you know, type of thing. Okay, yeah. Well, guns.
Yeah.
A proponent of drinking. Conor McGregor also is a proponent of drinking, as you can imagine. Proper 12 whiskey, his baby. I saw him on Wednesday night. I was just given the rundown and he was definitely drinking. I will say drinking heavily on Wednesday night, which you can imagine. I mean, it's the premiere party for his first time movie that he's ever done in his career, Roadhouse. Yeah. It's coming out today on Amazon. So I imagine being that it's, you know, super early, you haven't seen it yet, but when are you going to watch it?
Yeah, no, I have not seen it yet. Conor McGregor definitely does like drinking. He also has a lot of energy these days, like myself, but maybe differently. I mean, at least he's got the bankroll behind it. You know what I mean? He's got a lot to brag about than I do. But I think this is going to do great. You know, all the reviews so far have been overwhelmingly positive. Wow. And you know, he for those that don't know, he plays kind of like a bouncer turned fighter or whatnot, which is perfect because it's not full real life of what he's doing, but it's the closest thing that you're going to get to him. He is jacked up, swolled up in this. And so he looks great in all the, in the clips and the previews and everything like that. And I think it's going to do well. Normally with these types of movies, if they go straight to, you know, this is going to be on Amazon Prime, normally you're kind of like a little bit hesitant on it. But the fact that even people that don't like Connor are saying, you know what, the movie's actually not bad. Yeah. Then I think that it's going to be a good one. I'm going to be watching probably later tonight with the fellas, drinking some proper 12, toasting to our guy.
Okay.
So I'm actually excited. I'm looking forward to seeing how he's able to pull this off.
Yeah, hopefully I'll have a chance to check it out this weekend. I've got UFC responsibilities, so a little bit busy. But I did hear that Connor, I mean, from the people that I spoke to, said that Connor actually did a fantastic job acting. I mean, it's his first time. Let me just say, I took an acting class once.
Okay.
And I just, you know, I imagine like, I've been on TV before. You kind of act in a sense. I was in WWE, you know, where you kind of act in a sense.
Yeah.
Acting is hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not just, you don't just say things. And honestly, for me, I would like overthink everything. So I would be like, what's up? And the person's like, why are you saying it like that? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, acting is like extremely, extremely tough. So people might not realize this. Like, it's hours upon hours upon hours. Sometimes even for the basic scenes, like, if it's say a dialogue between two people, you'll have one camera focus on the one person over and over. Then they'll do all those takes again with the camera focused on the other person. And it's about keeping the same rhythm, keeping the same mindset, remembering where you are. It's never filmed in order. So that's also a thing. So you might have to act in a way that, and you're describing something that you haven't even filmed yet. So,
it's more complicated than people realize.
Yeah, it's just, which is why they make the big bucks, which apparently Connor did as well.
Connor's in that category now.
Amazon knows what they're doing. Amazon knows that Connor McGregor brings eyeballs, which is why hopefully the UFC's coming around and finally going to let my man fight for the love of God.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so there's a couple different ways I want to go off of this. One is he made so much money acting, right? Like, if I'm making... I mean, listen, the money isn't totally reported to like what he actually made, but there's like rumors that it could have been somewhere around 200 million pounds. I don't know like what pounds the equivalent necessarily is to dollars. But if you're making money like that, I'm going to do it over and over and over again. But weirdly, Connor has already said in two different interviews that it's a one and done. Like, he doesn't want to act anymore. That's weird to me. Why would you not want to act anymore when you apparently just killed it, according to critics, and the reviews are great? You made a bunch of money. Why would you not act again?
I mean, I've learned a long time ago, don't listen to what Conor McGregor says, because it's even he doesn't know what he's saying at the time. I would not be surprised if Conor changes his opinion as soon as he receives all the accolades and the praise from the common man out there as well. Mm. Once this airs, and he starts getting, he does the late night show, he does Colbert, he does all that. So maybe he comes on Outkick the Morning. You know what I mean? And like,
who knows?
Let's get him on and realize that, it goes right to Conor's head. If we know one thing about Conor, he loves the attention on him. So I wouldn't be surprised if down the line, he jumps back into the Hollywood, the Hollywood club, if you would.
The club. Okay, but what about getting back into the UFC club? We now have a confirmation from Conor as of this week. There are two dates left on his contract, so he says. He says it's all systems go for this summer, too, as far as getting back into UFC. But then again, that's the same thing we heard last year. We heard it was this spring, and then we heard other dates. And I don't know what to believe at this point, because UFC hasn't made any official announcement. Yeah. It's just Conor. So I'm not really sure. I mean, he looks fantastic. Yeah. But I don't know if that's real or if it's not, or if he just, again, is Conor being Conor and just talking. And again, we got to be careful what we believe.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to Conor, that is very true. That's the narrative, and that's what he's proven to us time and time again. I will say this, though. It came down, it's been reported that he's already been tested 5 times this year, which is double what any other fighter that's in the, that is in the drug testing program has been. So he hasn't popped yet. And also he is training. He slimmed down from even what he looked like when he was filming this film just last year. So I think he got, for a while, I thought it was all conjecture and just BS, but I truly believe that he wants to fight. He is calling for, the June 29th bout. It's got to be announced sooner than later. Chandler's obviously on board. Like, Chandler's just been, just grating his teeth for this moment. But just last week, Dana said that there was nothing. You know what I mean? Because there was rumors that Conor was like, oh, I'll fight at the Spear in Vegas. Like, Dana was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, right.
So I don't believe anything until the UFC says it. For a while, it seemed like Conor's getting squeezed out here, and I don't fully know why. But the fact of the matter is, he's 36 years old. He needs to fight sooner than later. It's been 4 years, over four years since he blasted.
Well, 2021, so yeah. 3 years.
Right, but the last time he won was against Cowboy Cerrone in 2020.
Won, yep.
He hasn't won in 4 years, January 2020. Yeah. He's got to do it sooner than later. I hope it happens. All eyeballs would be, oh my God, I would lose my mind if he fights again. But it's got to happen sooner than later. I feel like for him to go around and say it's definitive, blah, 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 and it seems like it's happening for more than just him as a source, I think we finally might get it. Maybe Dana announces it this weekend.
Okay. That would be exciting. We'll see what happens. When Dana speaks, that's one person you definitely listen to.
Yes.
And you definitely believe.
Yes.
Okay, well, UFC has had to dole out quite a bit of money. They just reached a settlement in their antitrust lawsuit that was filed against them by about 1,200 different fighters from the period 2010 to 2017. It's an antitrust lawsuit, and it basically $335 million. They reached an agreement to settle all claims, basically stemming from the practices that the UFC fighters claimed stifled their ability to negotiate with other promotions, locked fighters into restrictive contracts, which combined to suppress fighter pay. They were seeking like $1.6 billion in damages, but they only had to pay out $335 million, which I guess considered to be a win for UFC. What do you think about all this? Do you feel like the fighters are getting what they deserve? And do you think they had a basis to file in the first place?
I think they did have a legal argument, which is why it ended up being settled, and rather than go to trial, because $1 billion is a lot of money. I kind of looked into it. So, I mean, the bottom line is the UFC definitely does have a monopoly, but it's because they're the best. You know what I mean? That's what, when it comes down to that, there's a reason you go to the UFC. There's a reason you sign with the UFC. And of course, they're going to have leverage because they're the freaking best. You want to fight in the local circuit, then go fight in the local circuit and make no money and barely get gas money. You know what I mean? So yeah, of course, Dana White and the UFC are going to hold all the cards because they literally hold all the cards.
They do. They actually do. Right.
So don't hate the player. Don't hate the player. Maybe hate the game. And they tried going after the game here. Do I think fighters should get more money? Absolutely. Is this a win? It's $300 million or whatnot, the settlement. I think they're very
excited
about that.
But there's also no meaningful changes coming to contracts moving forward. It's not like they have to change the language or change the structures. So, I mean, ultimately, it is probably seen as a major victory for UFC, because that would have been a big one if they would have had to change things moving forward as a result, but they don't.
The fighters, and I was reading up on this, the lawyers representing the fighters said that in order for them to really pursue it even further, they would have had to refile. And the fact is that this has already taken so many years to begin with that they were just like, we need to essentially get something rather than wait 5 more years and God help, you know, people that really do need the money now or whatnot. Is it a ton of money when it's divided between I think it's 1,200 different fighters. It's something better than nothing, but maybe it does set precedent moving forward for any other legal challenges, though.
Yeah, for sure. But you're right. UFC is the creme de la creme. Yeah. Even we saw what happened with Ngannou. I mean, when he went to
Bellator, and then
Bellator. He went to Bellator, and now that he's lost, I mean, Bellator is kind of like sinking. People were like, what's going to happen with the promotion ultimately? I mean, maybe it doesn't even survive. So that just shows the power that UFC has. I mean, they don't need to rely on one star. They have so many. And guess what? If you don't want to be a star at UFC, there are plenty other people that do. So feel free. Feel free to walk away, right?
Can't go wrong. Yep.
Okay. Well, from one money issue to another, guns, I saw your tweet coming out yesterday. You had one of the big reactions to the Shohei Ohtani news about him getting ripped off by his interpreter, which, oh my gosh, I mean, someone you keep as close as that around you all the time. This was one of Shohei Ohtani's best friend who was found to be embezzling tons of money for him to be used in sports gambling. And you had the reaction, this is huge and wild. Shohei Ohtani's interpreter being accused of stealing millions of his funds to illegally place bets and is under federal investigation. Ohtani has such a close circle, insanely private and reserved. So the fact that this happened, I mean,
yeah. Well, the So the .. is what I've been, it's been going wild. My phone's been blowing up nonstop. So here's the thing. I think, and this is my opinion, I think either Ohtani was the one doing the betting or he knew exactly what was going on. And it's because this guy, his interpreter, was his right-hand person for years, spent 365 days a year with Shohei Ohtani. And now we find out that the translator was a $4.5 million in debt, had $4.5 million in debt to a bookie, okay? To an illegal bookie that was under FBI, was being wiretapped and everything was under federal investigation. Of course, Ohtani and his right-hand person didn't know about this. Now, my point is, and my argument is, the interpreter was making probably around $300,000 a year. There is no bookie in the world that would let somebody have over a $4 million bankroll over $300,000 income, okay?
Yeah.
I don't care who your best friend is, okay? And also more telling, and this is very important, you know, and don't want to get too much in the weeds here, but understand this if you're watching this, right? The interpreter gave an interview with ESPN and said that Shohei Ohtani knew what was going on and wired him 2 payments of $500,000 each, okay, in order to help settle these debts. Before ESPN the next day went with it, Ohtani's people reached out, lawyers did, and said, no, that's not true. This guy stole the money from us. So they completely changed the story around and are now claiming that it's theft now. So like that is they're changing the narrative already, probably because they realize Ohtani is definitely in some sort of legal jeopardy right now.
Wow.
So now they're blaming, they're saying they're disavowing all knowledge now, even though they had come out originally and said, yes, this happened. They also have wire transfers from Ohtani's account that he signed himself.
Why? Why would Ohtani do this? I guess you kind of develop a bigger than thou mentality. I don't know, because Ohtani, how much money does he make? I mean, is he the highest paid player in MLB?
So he just signed a $700 million contract for 10 years. He's got plenty of endorsement money and all that. It comes down to the fact that, once again, he either knew and was helping bankroll this guy, his interpreter, that he knew what was going on, considering he's been with them every single day now for years, or he was having this guy place the bets for him. Now, of course, we can't prove that yet, but that's what it would – that's I think it's one or the other.
I wonder. Okay.
And they also didn't know he was under investigation. So he thought, hey, I'm just wiring this guy money. Why not? And then the guy ends up betting with it. It's just not good optics for Major League Baseball's hero right now, international star. It depends how much the Department of Justice is going to look into it. But when I tell you that this story is going to be massive and we're just breaking it down just a little bit, we know, I'm going to be all over it.
Well, I hope you are, but also I'm interested to see what's going to happen with Ohtani. I mean,
yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, you have to at least be looking at a suspension, long-term suspension as the investigation's underway. And God knows how long that could take. We all know how they like to drag their feet and stuff like this. So,
yeah.
Okay.
That's only if Major League Baseball will go after him. And I don't know if they're going to. So,
that would be horrible for them too.
He's the biggest name in all of baseball internationally. And that's a lot of money coming in. And just like David Stern in the NBA ended up, sending Michael Jordan to go play baseball because of his gambling debts. They were just like, oh, we have to hide this. Just go play baseball and quit basketball for a year. What the hell are they going to do here in the world of social media and internet salutes these days? In 2024, it's going to be wild. It's going to be really interesting to see what the next move is.
Something else that's been wild is all of the mishaps that we've been seeing with Boeing 737 Maxes. I mean, Boeing is in hot water guns. I honestly, you can't even make excuses up anymore. I mean, it's like a door freaking flew off the plane when they were in air. They've done all types of investigation, finding that some guy was using a credit card to do repairs. Like, there's just some shoddy job. Screws were loose on certain planes that they evaluated. There was another Boeing plane that circled the Caribbean island 4 times before coming back to land because of a mechanical issue. They've had engines blow out. I mean, listen, I was just on a plane yesterday. It wasn't a 737 Max, thank God, but what the hell? This is scary.
Yeah. Like, what are we doing here, Boeing? Figure it out, because if there's one place I don't want to be when something goes wrong, it's 28,000.
Yeah, because what do you do? You're stuck. You're hopeless.
You drink. You drink and kiss your ass. You kiss your ass goodbye. Like you're screwed. So figure it out. The fact that this is all happening in recent weeks, I mean, it's a wheel fell off here when they took off an engine, the wall blew out. Like, what are we doing here? Somebody figure this out. It's not ideal. I did find this interesting. There's actually an app out there right now that and a travel site, actually, where I wrote about an Outkick. I forget the name offhand, but you can now they broke it down that you can now book a flight and purposely say that you don't want to go on a Boeing jet or a Boeing 737, that you can actually pick the jet that you want to go to, or they'll give you flights that won't be using those kind of jets. Cause people are like, yo, I'm not gambling with this. The hell is this? Figure it out, Boeing. What's going on? We pay you enough money. I mean, Christ.
Well, their stock is definitely suffering, but that's the least of it. Yeah. Hopefully they can get it together. And you know, Guns, just please cross your fingers that when I come home this weekend, I'm not on a Boeing 737. That would be ideal. So please, thank you. Best wishes my way.
All the best intentions, all the best wishes. May the best coffee be ever in your favor that morning before you fly. And also, you got to make it home because you got to watch Roadhouse with Connor.
Roadhouse with Connor. And yes, I'll be having a latte. I'm on a matcha latte kick. I know you don't know what that is, but it's delicious. And you're right. That's what I'll be doing. And I wish you a happy weekend. I hope you get some basketball viewing in, some Roadhouse viewing in. And
win all my bets. We got to win all the bets.
And drink some whiskey.
Plenty of whiskey happening, and hopefully some cash flow too for my March Madness picks.
Lovely. Alrighty, Guns. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Okay, and speaking of planes, listen, you can only hope. You can only cross your fingers when you step onto a flight. And listen, all of you who decide to judge me even in the slightest when I say this, don't lie. I know you're guilty of it too. You pray as you see people walking down the aisles and judging them, looking at them based on their size, maybe their body odor. Who knows? You're thinking to yourself, okay, I could be okay with him sitting next to me. Or for the love of God, please do not sit next to me. Now, obviously, you want someone that's smaller, someone that's not spilling over into your side of your seat. Sometimes not so lucky, though. For example, when you sit next to this woman.
I'm plus size and on a plane. Of course I can't fit the tray table now. I'm plus size and on a plane. Of course I'm going to sit beside the smallest member of my family. I'm plus size and on a plane. Of course the armrest is digging into me. I'm plus size and on a plane. Of course I have to shimmy down the aisle sideways. I'm plus size and on a plane. Of course I need a seatbelt extender.
Okay, so obviously she is very proud of the inconveniences that she suffers and causes other people, I'm sure, to suffer on flights. Here's my thing, and we've talked about this on the show before. If you're obese, fine. If you choose to live your life in that unhealthy of a manner, fine. But other people shouldn't have to suffer, nor should they have to bend over backwards to accommodate you, because that's just not how it should go. So if someone has to, you know, have more than one seat, they should be responsible for paying for that seat. It shouldn't be that you're infringing on my space that I paid for without some type of repercussion. I'm not down with that. Also, I just really loved the one part of the video where she was like, I'm oversized. Of course, I have to go down the aisle sideways. And it's, you could see the guy in the background, like giving her a little bit of the side eye, because that's not something you should be celebrating or be proud of. And also, do people have no dignity anymore? You're on a plane, just sit down, stop filming TikTok videos while you're on the plane. People are just there to mind their own business, get where they need to safely and hopefully in a peaceful manner. But here we are, 2024. What more could happen? Oh, we don't even want to know yet, do we? Okay, everybody, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for being with me as I am in Las Vegas. Make sure you are checking out my social media this weekend at Charlie on TV. If you are a UFC fan, check out Fight Night. If you're a Conor McGregor fan, a movie fan, you've got Roadhouse to attend to. And if you're a basketball fan, obviously March Madness. Going to be all the rage. I am so excited to see all the guys in Vegas who are going absolutely wild. Okay, everybody, that's all we've got. Have a wonderful Friday. Have a wonderful weekend. And I'll see you on Monday.